Governor Pence, Lieutenant Governor Elsperman, members of the General Assembly, and guests. This is the occasion to fulfill the Indiana Constitution's directive that the Chief Justice report to you on the condition of the courts. Well, in short, Indiana judges are very, very busy. We're extremely challenged, but quite gratified every day. We could do even better with more resources, but we're extremely honored for the privilege of judicial service. And we're very fortunate to have an outstanding working relationship with the executive branch and the General Assembly as we partner together with you on various fronts. Now, this report is going to contain a lot of details, but before we do, let me share one of the highlights of this past year from a speech given by Justice Massa. He told a story that gives a captivating insight into the crucial importance of courts for a productive society. Here is essentially what he said. A Los Angeles Laker who was cut by his NBA club signed a one-year contract to play in Greece. His deal called for a $100,000 salary and a rented apartment. But early that season, the team started paying only half his salary. And when he consulted his agent, he was told Greek law did not come down on the side of the laborer until the employer was at least 3 months in arrears. And a few months later, his landlord tried to evict him because the team had not paid his rent in 4 months. Not to worry, the team told him, since landlords are powerless to evict someone until they're at least 6 months behind in their rent. By the end of the year, the basketball player was still in his apartment, but the team owed him half his salary. So he sued, and he actually won. The team appealed, but the player won again. And then he waited and waited and waited. A year after he left Greece without his money, the Greek Basketball League was facing collapse. So the Minister of Sport forgave the debts of the team. This basketball player noted that many of the Greeks he met in the sports world and beyond already believed that their system was so broken that individual effort did not matter. Just think about that. The system was so broken that individual effort didn't matter. People didn't pay their taxes in full or work a complete day, and when they were confronted with the Greek economy, they just threw up their hands. The player concluded that real change won't arrive until anyone who signs up to work in Greece, whether they're stockbroker or IMF administrator or basketball player, knows that he can count on Greek law for protection. Thankfully, Justice Massa added, we still provide that protection here. And he emphasized that when many people think of the justice system, they first think of the criminal justice system and the delicate balance it maintains between liberty and security. But in reality, our judiciary is also important to commerce and the daily pursuits of most of our citizens. You simply cannot have a functioning free market economy without a fair and open forum with rules and predictable outcomes where private contracts are enforced and disputes settled. Thank you, Justice Massa, for this vivid example. For bringing us this vivid modern-day example illustrating the crucial role of the judicial branch and the importance of the support we receive from you, the men and women of the General Assembly. Last year, Indiana's 318 trial courts received over 1.6 million new case filings. Now, that was up about a fraction of a percent over the previous year. They conducted 1,338 civil and criminal jury trials. And this was accomplished by 547 judicial officers. That's judges, magistrates, referees, commissioners. Some of them are here today. Would all Indiana trial judges here today please stand and allow us to thank you for your service? the beginning of 2014, our Court of Appeals has experienced a change in leadership. Completing her term as Chief Judge is Margaret Robb, the first female Court of Appeals Chief Judge in Indiana history. She has served her three-year term with distinction, dedication, innovation, and energy. Judge Robb, please stand and let us thank you for your outstanding service. Her successor is Chief Judge Nancy Vadik, who we know will also be a great Chief Judge. We know that from her past work. Judge Vadik, please stand so we can welcome you to your new position. During the past year, over 2,000 appeals were presented to the Indiana Court of Appeals, which is one of the highest volume and most efficient appellate courts in the country. The Indiana Tax Court also received 76 new cases, and review was sought in the Indiana Supreme Court for over 1,000 cases. Compared to the previous year, this represents nearly 11% decrease in the Court of Appeals, an 8% decrease in the Tax Court, and about a 3% increase in the Supreme Court filings. Among the Supreme Court's other responsibilities under the Constitution, our State Board of Bar Examiners administered two bar exams to a total of 866 applicants, of which 631 passed and were admitted to the bar. On the lawyer discipline side, working with the Indiana Disciplinary Commission, the court imposed various sanctions to protect the public. This included one disbarment and 14 lawyer resignations after the disciplinary investigation began. All of the work of the whole judicial branch is done at an amazing value to Hoosiers. The judiciary, the third branch of Indiana government, operates on only 0.9% of the total spending by all Hoosier government interests, state, county, city, town, township. Just think about it. For every $10 spent by all of Indiana's government units, combined last year, only 9 cents went to the judiciary. And this doesn't even take into account the fact that the Indiana judicial system itself generates over $205 million in revenue, which is directed to various state and local functions. This is the equivalent of 55% of the total spent on Indiana's judiciary. The bottom line is that your judicial system provides enormous value to Indiana Hoosiers, and it does so at minuscule cost. What a bargain. But your judiciary in Indiana is more than just data and dollars. It's a team of judicial officials dedicated to serving Indiana and its citizens. While our primary responsibility is to decide cases, Indiana judges and justices and their staffs have been going beyond the call, reaching out, touching, and improving lives with a myriad of innovative programs. Here are a few. We have expanded the use of problem-solving courts, which have proven to be very effective in helping change the lives of people in trouble. Such courts include drug courts, domestic violence courts, mental health restoration courts, community courts, offender post-incarceration reentry courts, veterans courts. There are already 54 certified problem-solving courts, and 10 more are on the way. Another initiative made possible by your funding in last year's budget is the Adult Guardianship Program. As a result, seniors and incapacitated adults in 15 major counties are now being served by trained volunteer advocates. We also are proud of expanding our CASA program. CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. They speak for abused and neglected children. Programs this past year were started in 5 more counties, bringing the total to 63 certified programs in 78 counties, where we distributed $2.9 million in matching funds. CASA is made possible by 3,500 Indiana volunteers advocating for 16,000 children. Now, last year's legislative session also elected to invest substantial funds in probation, including officer training, implementing effective practices, forensic diversion, and that covers a variety of rehabilitative programs and pilot projects that focus on reducing repeat offenses that we call recidivism. We appreciate the General Assembly's partnership in these efforts. And now in its third year, the court's Mortgage Foreclosure Trial Court Assistance Program has moderated over 22,000 conferences between borrowers and lenders, resulting in over 5,000 mortgage foreclosure cases where an agreement has enabled the borrower to stay in their home and averted about $200 million in foreclosure losses for homeowners. We continue to be grateful to the Lieutenant Governor's Housing and Community Development Authority, whose funding has made this possible. During the past year, we merged the Supreme Court's staff members, several of them, into a new team. We call it our Office of Communication, Outreach, and Education, or actually reverse order, the Office of Communication, Education, and Outreach, to provide better media communication, to further transparency, to enhance public trust and confidence, to advance civics education with classroom teachers, and to facilitate greater in-person judicial outreach to students. One example, on Constitution Day this past year, 44 judges, including several justices, visited 119 classrooms and talked with over 3,000 students. Another part of this new team's work, our website, has again won distinction. Thanks to the technical competence and creativity of our webmaster, Lindy Borschel, we were named one of 2013's top 10 court websites by the Forum on the Advancement of Court Technology. Now, Justice Robert Rucker is the Supreme Court's voice in Indiana's effort to confront the challenges posed by people with limited English proficiency. This is an area strongly penetrated by federal regulatory oversight. At the present time, the National Conference of State Court Administrators is working with the Department of Justice to create a satisfactory planning tool for individual states to use. This is a very delicate prerequisite to any substantial state programming efforts, because failure to strictly comply with Department of Justice expectations could put at risk several other state programs that rely on federal funds. And this is not just funds having to do with people of limited English proficiency. These are many other of your programs. Now, Justice Rucker is on top of this. We will advance as soon as we can. And in the meantime, more and more language translators are being certified. And thanks to your generous funding and the cooperation of our partners, the Department of Correction, the Criminal Justice Institute, the Department of Child Services, the important Juvenile Detention Alternatives Initiative, which you may hear called JDAI, is now undergoing a huge expansion. Due in large part to the efforts of Justice Stephen David, JDAI is now operational in the 19 counties that serve 56% of Indiana's court-involved youth. We are seeing a 44% reduction in juvenile admissions to secure detention, 40% reduction in average daily population in secure detention, and an 18% drop in youths committed to the Department of Correction, all without any increase in reoffense rates. Just as last year, the top priority of your judicial branch was assuring that all trial courts are equipped with effective electronic case management and data sharing technology. That is still the case. The 2013 session of the General Assembly was responsive by restoring a portion of previously lost funding for trial court technology updates and for creating also the Judicial Technology Oversight Committee, now chaired by Justice Massa. The committee is comprised of members of all three branches, the private sector, and county clerks. We're very grateful for the leadership of Senate President Pro Tem David Long, House Speaker Brian Bosma, along with that of Representatives Greg Steuerwald, Kathy Richardson, Tim Brown, Steve Braun, Ed Delaney, Steve Stemler, and Senators Luke Kenley, Brant Hirschman, John Brodnick, Karen Tallien, and Lonnie Randolph. And we look forward to building on this spirit of cooperation in the years ahead. In the meantime, we have been working hard to provide the Odyssey case management system to more and more of the trial courts that want it. Odyssey has now been implemented in 175 courts in 48 counties and now handles essentially 50% of all new cases. But to fully benefit from Odyssey, the other trial court management systems, and both Odyssey and other trial court management systems, it's critical that information can be shared between courts. This data sharing is particularly important in criminal cases, family law, and juvenile cases, especially when it relates to some of our most vulnerable citizens, our children. Here's what can happen. Although a judge in County A that is not on the Odyssey system has access to all the juvenile case records in that judge's own county, that same judge does not have direct access to any other juvenile cases outside County A. This means that the judge may lack needed information because there may be a child in need of services, a CHINS case, or a delinquency case filed in other counties. An enactment last legislative session directed our Division of State Court Administration to work to fill this void and to develop the technology to send and receive court data between Odyssey and another case management system by the end of this past year, 2013. This goal has been attained. Working together with the Quest system, which is a case management system used by some of our larger counties to manage their juvenile cases, we have now implemented the exchange of data between Odyssey and Quest. And for the courts not on Odyssey or Quest, we have developed and are making available a separate application that searches both case management systems. In another collaborative effort, last year you created the Commission on Improving the Status of Children in Indiana. Now, this 18-member commission includes leadership from all three government branches that have the ability to impact the lives of children. And Justice Loretta Rush serves as the initial chair. The commission identified priorities and established various task forces, including members from government and non-government stakeholders throughout the state, on specific issues such as infant and child mortality, parental substance abuse, child safety, juvenile justice, and foster care reform. In last year's judiciary message, you heard about our concern for the unmet needs of economically challenged Hoosiers, the legal needs that were unmet. 2 weeks ago, at the end of 2013, we did an Odyssey snapshot, a data snapshot of pending lawsuits that were civil lawsuits. The results were pretty shocking. Considering all the civil cases, 63% of the parties were not represented by a lawyer. And in family law cases alone, 60% of the litigants did not have a lawyer. When people are in court without a lawyer, bad things happen. It places unrepresented litigants under great disadvantage, and it's almost always detrimental to their interests. It deprives judges from receiving all the information they need to make just and fair decisions, and it clogs court dockets and delays justice for all court users. To meet this challenge, Indiana lawyers are stepping up to the plate, and they are providing even more volunteer legal services. We call it pro bono legal services. And the Indiana State Bar Association this past fall has recommended the mandatory annual reporting of volunteer pro bono work by all lawyers. We're working to have such a program in place in the coming months. Our shared objective is to significantly reduce the number of people in court without a lawyer, enhancing Indiana judicial system's efforts to provide more justice, fairness, and efficiency. On another front, many of you already know about how the Indiana Risk Assessment Tool is now being used to help our courts and the Department of Correction to apply individualized strategies for offender rehabilitation. In fact, the National Institute of Corrections reported on its website in September that, and I quote, "Anyone looking for an example of a great risk assessment system and or risk assessment instruments needs to look at the Indiana risk assessment system." Such risk assessment tools, based on scientific principles of evidence-based practices, are also a key element in the court's new initiative to explore, develop, and if possible, to implement significant improvements in the way Indiana judges make determinations about the pretrial release of citizens charged with nonviolent offenses. The Supreme Court, which has the constitutional responsibility to supervise the exercise of jurisdiction of Indiana's trial courts, has established a special task force of trial judges, probation officers, and representatives of prosecutors and criminal defense lawyers to help the court make this happen in Indiana. We want to empower our judges with solid tools to make the process more fair and equitable, to enhance public safety, to assure that people will appear for their scheduled trials, and to reduce reliance on expensive jail beds. Now, we would like to put a couple of items, three in fact, on your radar screen for the future. These are some items the Supreme Court cannot accomplish without your thoughtful assistance. First, we need to bring the abstract of judgment, an ancient but statutory court record, into the digital age. The court has had a special ad hoc committee, part of our records management committee, working with various stakeholders, including county clerks and others, in an effort to modernize this relic of the quill pen era. We need your help. Number two, fixing the Marion County Township Small Claims Courts. Our present system has been the subject of ridicule by the Wall Street Journal, and local newspaper and television reporters have launched investigations into the system. A task force co-chaired by Court of Appeals Judge John Baker and Senior Judge Betty Bartow held hearings and made a comprehensive report recommending changes. Local leadership and new court rules, however, can only scratch the surface. Systemic change is imperative, and this requires legislative action. And number three, looking into the future and considering the simultaneous demands and constraints on county property tax revenue, as well as the effective and responsible judicial administration needs, we encourage you to consider shifting more and more funding of the judicial branch costs from local government to state funding. For many reasons, this is wise and sound public policy, and it's already used effectively in many other states. And as we look at the year just completed and the years ahead, we want to commit the Indiana judiciary to do everything we can to help implement your masterful achievement in revising Indiana's criminal code. This is really an amazing feat on your part and by all involved, and particularly the steadfast leadership of the Criminal Code Evaluation Committee chaired by Representative Stuart Wald, and before him, Representative Ralph Foley, Representative Matt Pierce, and Senator Richard Bray. A product of multiple years of thoughtful efforts and difficult negotiations, the result was an outstanding piece of legislation. We understand that some modifications may be considered this session, but we stress the importance of retaining maximum judicial discretion in criminal sentencing cases. Individualized sentences reflect an enormous variations among offenders and the crimes that they commit. Judicial discretion is essential. It's essential to maximize public protection, offender rehabilitation, and responsible stewardship of incarceration costs. The court stands with you to help implement and fulfill your admirable objectives in this bill. This summary of highlights and aspirations constitutes this year's State of the Judiciary message. Looking forward to what the judicial branch, the General Assembly, the executive branch can accomplish together in the coming year. This concludes our 2014 report on the condition of the courts. Thank you.
The Joint Convention is hereby concluded, and the House will stand in recess until the fall of the gavel for about 10 minutes.